There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get started with this week's edition of Bench with Bubba, let me talk to you about Draft. Draft.com is one of the coolest new ways to play fantasy sports. You get to draft against, you know, 3, 5, 10-man competitions. There's new drafts starting every 5 minutes. Your chances of winning on Draft are over 80% better than on salary cap sites. That's why you need to try Draft. No more getting crushed by the pros. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. You can play in real-life NBA, NFL. They have NHL. PGA is a great one. They have MLB. They have them all, and it keeps getting better, better, and better. Drafts usually finish in under 5 minutes. You get paid the next day the event finishes, but they're filling fast. Every second, drafts are filling. They have them up until your games begin. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, and you have to use the promo code SD Sports. All one word, SD Sports. That's right. Play in a real money draft for free by using the promo code SD Sports. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with promo code SD Sports. Void or prohibited, must be 18 or older. See website for details. Offer must be redeemed within 14 days. Now to this week's edition of Benched with Bubba. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 74. Talking more fantasy baseball. We'll hit up the third base position, talk some Humidor in Arizona, recent MLB signings. And my guest this week, in order to do so, he's a resident of the wonderful state of Arizona. He does all kinds of podcasts. He even, you know, contrary to many beliefs, these two guys can write books. So they wrote a book. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports and at InThisLeague.com. Scott Bogman, how are we doing?
Bubba, thank you. That was a fantastic introduction. I am doing fantastic today. I'm definitely not annoyed at all the work in my apartment complex going on. They're painting. Of course, they've been painting every single building this month, and they wait until the day I'm a guest on a show to do my building. Like, literally, as we're talking, I just saw spray paint go over my window. So that is fantastic. They wait until this second. But, yeah, I'm doing great. And the Welsh and I actually can write. Like a lot of people like my writing. I hate writing. I despise it. But we wrote a book. It's called the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. It's available on Amazon. If you want a PDF, it's available on InThisLeague.com. And it's kind of different. It is – so there's plenty of draft guides. And since we are a staff of two people, there's not a chance in hell we could write an entire draft guide. So we like to talk about player debates on our podcast. So we decided to go with 99 of them because we also have our 99 problems with my drafting. One t-shirt, it just makes too much sense. And it's kind of like a complimentary piece. That's what the Welsh has been calling it. I think that's perfect. It's a complimentary piece to the regular draft guides and all that kind of stuff. So It's a lot of fun. It's on Amazon. It's cheap. It's only $7. And please buy it so I can eat dinner. I would really appreciate it if you guys could buy it. That would be great.
Uber Eats is not cheap, people. Scott, my God, needs your help.
That's right. I'm on a diet for real. Oh, like, no. I've got shakes and everything. I've got a workout plan.
But you
like
got the shakes, or you're drinking shakes?
Well, I have the shakes from cheeseburger withdrawals, but I also have shakes that I have to, you know, like those. They're super expensive. They don't taste that bad, but so it's going, you know.
Man. Well, I appreciate you being able to fit me in between drinks. That's really, really kind of you. Because I know as a fellow guy that needs to be on a diet, I understand how these things can go.
Know how it is. It's not going to last forever. So
you'll be back on the wagon in no time.
I still live 10 minutes away from Whataburger. So, you know.
Outstanding. But yes, everybody, the important message between all of that, and it's going to go off the rails many more times today, is go buy the book. It's that simple. And you can just get it online, so you don't have to worry about paper cuts or any of that kind of stuff. Real simple deal. But go check it out. They have a lot of other key people in the industry helping out, you know, judge the debates and everything. So really, really quality stuff that they put out there as usual. So go check that out. Let's talk some recent MLB transactions before we get into the rest of the information. JD Martinez, a guy that you got to see this past season for at least half a season in Arizona, he found his way to Boston as many expected. We don't care about the financials of the deal. We want to care about the fantasy impact. How many times do you think he's going to pepper that green monster?
A lot. I mean, JD is a great hitter, and especially – it's like we had Joe Pizzapia on our show, and he said, well, what else can JD Martinez do? And I said, well, the only thing is play 40 more games. You know, he does have a little bit of a history of missing time, but other than that, the dude has been outstanding for the last couple seasons, especially with Arizona. And I love him going to Boston, where he's going to hit in the middle of that lineup. Maybe three, but apparently the news came down that Hanley Ramirez is going to hit three. I don't know what that's all about, but he's going to be a fantastic addition to Boston. So a very good move for them, and it depresses me a lot. So,
yeah, because everybody pretty much knew he was going to Boston. Did him officially signing with Boston, I guess it's not even official yet, I saw. Does him going to Boston, does that change his rankings to you at all, or do you kind of still have him in the same ballpark where you draft him?
I would have given him a little bit of a tick up in Arizona just for his – production from last season until they announced the humidor, which I thought also coincided with him signing with the Red Sox. I thought maybe, you know, we don't know what the official offer from the Diamondbacks was, but my thought was always, well, it's probably a 1 year, you know, $25 million, something along those lines. Bet on yourself. Give us this chance that we have within the window of the Greinke Goldschmidt era here in Arizona to try to get a championship. But after they announced the humidor, I mean, a guy that doesn't want to go in a free agency, betting on himself 1 year if the homers are going to regress and all that kind of stuff. So the Welsh doesn't think that has anything to do with it. I don't know. Maybe. But I think that when J.D. Martinez – it was one or the other. When J.D. Martinez said no, they announced the humidor. Or when they announced the humidor, J.D. Martinez said no. So I think one affected the other some way. But we'll never know. Him in Boston is fantastic. I still think it's a very, very good move. So,
last question on JD, since he's going to be in the middle of that order now, do you think it turns into a Mitch Moreland, Hanley Ramirez platoon? And so their values, they weren't high values to begin with fantasy-wise, but really, really decreases those guys? Or how do you see that impacting the team?
I think Hanley's going to play most of the time. You know, Moreland will get in there. Sure, it'll be a platoon, but I would say it's more of a, you know, 160 or 110-50 type of platoon if you're looking at all the games played in Hanley's favor. I also think that Eduardo Nunez going to Boston kind of clouds some stuff too, because, yes, he can play everywhere, and he's basically insurance for if, you know, Devers struggles or Jackie Bradley Jr. struggles, but he's going to start out at second base while Dustin Pedroia is starting the year on the disabled list. So, once Pedroia comes back, though, You know, I want Eduardo Nunez every day over Jackie Bradley Jr. at least. So I think that that is bigger as far as the Red Sox lineup goes. But they've got great pieces all over the place, and adding JD Martinez is fantastic for them.
Yep, embarrassment of riches. Let's talk about a three-team trade that took place with your boys. You guys picked up Steven Souza Jr. People are saying, well, that was to replace JD Martinez. No, you're not replacing him with Steven Souza Jr. But formidable piece to the offense. How does he look fantasy-wise to you this year?
Oh, I love it. It moves Yasmani Tomas's fat ass back to the bench. That is what I love. I do not want any more part of Tomas. I mean, even when Tomas hit 30 bombs, he had a zero war because he's so terrible out in the outfield, and they're paying him way too much money. And Steven Souza Jr. fits right in. Apparently, he's good friends with Paul Goldschmidt. He went to high school with Robbie Ray, and he played travel ball with Jake Lamb. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. The Welsh told me that yesterday, and that was very – like, I knew he knew Goldschmidt. I had heard that before, and I knew they worked out together and all that kind of stuff. But he's going to fit right in. It makes the outfield defense better. But for fantasy, maybe the home runs tick a little bit down with the humidor. But, you know, we let guys steal in Arizona. So he's going to have an opportunity to run. I believe he's going to play most of the time. And, I think it was a smart deal for the Diamondbacks dealing from depth, because Drury goes to the Yankees. They still have Ketel Marte to play short, Owings to play second. They've got Nick Ahmed backing up too, and Daniel Descalso on the bench. So, and Pollock is always hurt. Peralta got hurt last season. They signed Jared Dyson. So there's all kinds of depth in the outfield now for the injury problems. And Steven Souza did play a big chunk of last season, which he hasn't been known for. But he also really sank in the second half. He probably played through some injuries.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great move for them. He's a good young ball player, cheap, under control for through 2020, I believe it is. So really good move there. You mentioned Drury going to the Yankees. You saw him firsthand. I liked him a lot, especially if you talk splits against lefties. He can hit him really well. He's probably going to start the year at second base, but we all know there's Gleyber Torres and Andujar and a bunch of guys that eventually will come up. Do you see Drury as an asset fantasy-wise, or is it only like really deep league, AL-only type stuff?
No, I think he's an asset, and I actually read yesterday that Cashman said the plan is for Drury to start at third. So, but I think what it is, I think you're going to be wind up being probably right. So Drury can play. He's a second baseman is his forte. He can play third. He can play a little bit of short. It's not his best thing, but he can do it. And he's had time in the outfield in Arizona. So the Yankees acquire a super utility type of player. But I think spring training is going to come down between Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar. And whoever winds up playing better, Drury will fill in the hole of whoever doesn't play better. So, maybe he'll start the year at third. If Andujar is bad, he can start the year at second if Torres is bad. If they're both good, I would lean towards him starting at third. Or maybe being a super utility. I mean, if those guys both play really, really well, he could be a bench bat. So I like him, but his future is a little bit up in the air in New York, just like it would be in Arizona. But I don't know if too much changed for him. I think he has a better chance to start in New York, though.
Definitely. I agree with that completely, because with him leaving, you mentioned Ketel Marte, who I'm big on this year. But more importantly, my question is for Chris Owings. Had a breakout year last year. Many are calling it a fluke. Do you think, you know, kind of now having an everyday role with no one really to bug you at second base outside of Nick Ahmed, who I don't really count as bugging you, do you think Chris Owings can actually continue?
I took offense to your comment last week, by the way. When you said Chris Owings kind of came out of nowhere here to play well, I guess you forgot that Chris Owings was minor league player of the year at one point in his career. Now he was hitting in Vegas.
Yeah, and I was a little league all-star, and I'm sitting here talking to you.
Great. Triple A is different than little league, I believe. Now I was in Vegas, but Owings has been all over the place, right? So his career has been hampered by a couple of injuries and some not his own. Remember, he started in center field for a big chunk when AJ Pollock broke his arm. Like a couple days before the season started, they had no one to replace Pollock in center. No one athletically, but Owings, you know, you can go from second to center. So he went out to center. He had to learn it. He probably brought a bunch of learning the outfield to the plate with him. So now he can finally know I'm the starting second baseman going in, and I can concentrate on fielding and hitting. I know what I'm going to do this season. And he had the finger injury last year. Now he is a little bit set back at this point because he had to have a second finger surgery in November. So he's about a week and a half to 2 weeks behind the normal players. I don't know if it's going to affect his regular season. I don't know if he'll get caught up and be able to start the year at second, or if he'll be a little bit behind and come in around week, the middle of week two, the middle of week three, something along those lines. But I like Chris Owings for this season. And yeah, minor league player of the year. But come on, man. What are you doing?
I do like him a lot. I just didn't know because there's you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of talk out there. People going, oh, no, there's no way he can do this again. But last guy I want to ask about, Carlos Gomez signed 1 year, $4 million with the Rays yesterday to replace Steven Souza. And my immediate reaction was like, what the heck are the Rays doing? But I said that about 12 different times this week. And I text our boy Yancey, and I make sure, you know, he's got Kleenex close by. And
oh, man.
After another. It's a rough go. But Jeff Sullivan from Fangraphs comes out with an article about how Carlos Gomez is just a four-year-old version of Steven Souza Jr.
Yeah.
Except he's fragile. Do you buy into this at all? And like, is he – because you can get him super late in the draft. He's going to have everyday playing time.
I mean, look, you know, there's not many guys that are going to hit three or four. You know, there's 60 total of those guys. And Carlos Gomez is cleanup hitter for the Rays. The Rays don't have the best lineup in the world, obviously. But he stayed somewhat healthy last season for Carlos Gomez. And I think that is exactly right. If you look at the stat line, Carlos Gomez is a guy with all kinds of power and all kinds of speed. He's just constantly hurt. But if you can snag him close to the end of your draft, I don't see why not. Go get a cleanup hitter hitting in the middle of a major league lineup and, see how long he's going to last for you. Now, a couple seasons ago, he's going way too high. I mean, the dude is constantly throwing out a shoulder because he swings as hard as he possibly can on every single pitch. I don't know if you've ever watched him, but it's my shoulder hurts watching him swing like that. It's ridiculous. So, but I think he is, he's a poor man's version of Souza, who is, a poor man's version of some of the elite players. So.
Yeah, no, it was an impressive article to read because at first glance, like I said, it looked rough. And then I got my typical foot and mouth disease. And as I read it and realized, oh, wow, there's a lot to be said about this. And then you hit the nail on the head. A three or four hitter in baseball, there's only 60 of them. And that's primo real estate. So definitely someone to keep an eye on. And obviously I'll go up draft boards as we continue to draft this season. Let's get into the humidor. I've kind of left it off the last few podcasts as info keeps coming out. And I knew I had Mr. Arizona coming on today. And I want to get your kind of impact or your insight, because you've probably heard more stuff than even what we know about in the area and, talking to whoever you talk to. But Derek Cardy came out with a bunch of good information saying all data shows 25% to 50% reduction, which to me is a very wide range. But we saw what he did in Colorado. What are they talking about in Arizona?
I mean, you've heard you probably heard more than me because there is so much chatter about this. I just have to back away from it. You know, it's just too much, man. Like, and it's the monster, right? It's the monster that nobody can see. It's like Bill Burr says, when you go out, he's like, the ocean is like the jungle, but you can't see anything. Our head is right above the water. We have no idea. Yep. My question is with the humidor is how are the balls handled? Because they say, it's the same thing as it is in Colorado, but the humidity difference is going to make the ball weigh more and all this stuff. Well, if you take a ball out in Arizona, the dryness in Arizona is going to dry that ball out way quicker than it would in Colorado. So I don't know, is there going to be increased scoring at the end of the game? Is there going to be is it really going to drop home runs by 35% like some people are predicting? I just don't know if I buy that big of an impact. but people are panicking because we just flat out don't know. There's not a really great answer here. And I sent the Hardball Times article that came out last year. God, what is his name that wrote that? Dr.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I can't remember right now. But that was the article that Derek Carty was referencing in his long Twitter stream that he wrote about this, where they were measuring core and all that stuff. And he just said, what nerdery. He's like, what? Only in baseball would we be measuring core to predict fantasy players, of course. But, I mean, it's true, you know. I'm not a physics guy. I'm more of a dick jokes type of guy. So I can't tell you all the physics that are going to happen with this, but I know that I'm not bumping Goldschmidt off of my board at all. You know, like a lot of people are moving him down to 10. They're moving him down to 11. There's just not a chance in hell I'm doing that. I don't think you're crazy if you put Arenado ahead of him. That's as far as I'd go. So 4. I got him at 4. I'm not moving him down. Now, to be honest with you, I don't like drafting my own players on the Diamondbacks. And you know that I don't like A.J. Pollock because you listen to my podcast before. I love him as a player, but the dude's always hurt. Jake Lamb with his terrible splits. I don't want any part of him this season. And, you know, then the rest of the outfielders are kind of on rotation. So unless they slip, I'm probably not taking them anyway. So as far as the hitters go, I'm kind of not in on most of them anyway, but this isn't going to really sway me too much because maybe, you know what, now that they acquired Souza, maybe Souza slips a little bit because there are not too many other players in that lineup that are super home run dependent. I mean, Jake Lamb hits a lot of bombs, but he gets a lot of RBIs and runs too, so I'm not too worried about that. If he falls off by 5 homers, I can get those somewhere else because power is cheap nowadays, so.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because you see all different sides of the spectrum on what it's going to be. The humidity part you mentioned, do you have dry balls at the end of the game, which could be a personal problem, could be a baseball problem. There's a whole lot of problems there. You mentioned ball handling. We can go all day with this.
Yeah, brought to you by Gold Bond.
Yes. Get your Gold Bond. You need that in Arizona in the summertime. Oh, yeah. Trust me. I know. But I asked Eno Saris. I said, so what's this mean, like, for the pitchers? What does it mean? He says, gives them better grip, so like their slider or this, that, and the other. But I asked, okay, so you're setting the humidity. What if the roof's open compared to closed? Do you set it at a different setting? There's so many factors to it that no one has an answer to yet. So
this Yeah, and I don't know if they're allowed to change the settings. That's a big thing, too.
Yeah,
because if every game is ending 2-1, like they're playing in Petco, are they allowed to go in and, you know, just like a thermostat in your apartment? Like, are they allowed to just take it down a couple notches? Like, okay, all right, let's get some 4-3 games here. You know, I don't know if they're allowed to change it or not for the entire season. So everybody doing this measurement and humidity and everything, well, what if they say, nah, F this, we're going to turn this down a little bit. Or if halfway through the year, they're like, you know what, our players aren't liking this, we're going to just quit using it. I don't know. So I don't know if the MLB has a rule in place that if it's there, you have to use it, or if you can't adjust it, or how the balls are handled, or any of that stuff. So these are the things that we need to find out before we go and completely demolish the value rating on all the hitters and raise the pitchers way, way up. I actually, you know, I don't like taking the hitters, but I do like the pitchers for Arizona this year. And I know a lot of people are laying off of them, but I like most of them.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go next. You know, Robbie Ray coming off his big year gave up a lot of hard contact. That was kind of the, I guess, if anybody had anything negative to say about him was that and sometimes his control issues. But he was really good, and obviously the humidor will help with the hard contact rate. You got guys like Zach Greinke, Tyrone Walker, Patrick Corbin, who pitched great at home already compared to on the road. Are you moving these guys up? Because you said you liked them a lot.
You forgot the best one. Zach Godley.
Oh, God.
Come on.
No, I know. I always forget him. And I know. I always forget him. But do you buy it? Okay, well, answer this question for me. Why the hell did they send him down in the middle of the season last year to give him, quote unquote, rest when he still pitched in AAA? That one blew my mind.
Reliever the year before. He's a reliever the year before. He hadn't put all these innings on his arm before. So, and you saw that in the second half where his ERA jumped up a little bit. It's because he wasn't used to the grind quite yet. But he pitched fantastic down the stretch. And even Rob Silver, we had Rob Silver on our show, and he gave a great explanation. I think it's a little bit. I mean, I want people to listen to our podcast. I'm a whore. I am not above name dropping or shaming people into buying stuff. I don't care. So,
by the way, guys, they have a book for sale on Amazon and on
IndusLeague.com. It's a book. You should buy it, please, God. But anyway, Rob Silver came on and he said, look, everything in the stats says Zach Godley's year was a true year. He wasn't bumped up by BABIP or anything else. I just don't want to take him because who the hell is Zach Godley? I mean, that was his quote. That's from an expert guy who's won the NFBC main event. So when he's saying, well, just who the hell is Zach Godley? That's the reason I don't want him, which, look, I have for plenty of players. But he put up a great season. He has the right type of attitude, and the humidor is coming in. Like, you know, I'm not going to be the guy to avoid him. I'm not going to bump him up ridiculously on my – I think pitchers list has him in the top 20. I'm not going to go up that high on him because it is 1 year. But – I'm not going to avoid him at all. And I'm not going to avoid the rest of these guys. You know, Robbie Ray, I think his problem in past seasons was he was around the plate just too much. You know, when you have that filthy kind of stuff, you don't have to be on top of the plate all the time. And I think he was a little bit adjusted. And also, you know, we brought in pitchers type of catchers last season. You know, Beef Wellington was out. It was a bunch of framers. It was Jeff Mathis. It was Chris Iannetta, who had a good offensive year also, but he's much better as a catcher. I'm a little bit scared of what Alex Avila is going to bring because he's known as much more of an offensive catcher. But I know that Greinke is going to be pitching to Mathis. Like, that's going to – he will be pitching to Mathis. That's that. So, you know, we'll have to see how these years repeat. But Robbie Ray's big bugaboo was pitching at home. You know, his ERA was, I think, almost 2.5-3 runs higher at home than it was on the road. His ERA on the road was under 2. I think it was 1.86, somewhere around there. It was 4.12 or somewhere in that neighborhood at home. So you add the humidor in. If you think it's going to have some type of effect, it's got to be better for him. I don't know if he's going to repeat a under 2 road ERA this season, but I think he has moved himself into that second deck type of pitchers, you know, that second tier-ish, you know. I would put him in the top 20. I don't think I would put I'm not moving Godley there quite yet. And Corbin had 19 quality starts last season.
I like Corbin. Go to Greinke. You get Corbin so late.
I was 2 years early on him. So, and he's 2 years removed from Tommy John now, too. So, and he was a stud. He was an all-star before the Tommy John surgery. He was, I think he was a second pitcher in the game in Shea in 2013. So he was really, really good then, and he's kind of getting back to that form after the Tommy John surgery now. So I like Patrick Corbin a lot.
It's a good little staff they have brewing there in Arizona. So I'm really curious to see where this humidor goes because, you know, they're always complaining about the baseballs and all this and that, and they saw it in the postseason. So I'm curious to what extent they take this to. And, you know, they say MLB's monitoring it, and the D-backs aren't even in charge of it. So I'm curious because, like you said, if they want to keep offensive players coming to town, they can't have 2-1 games every year or every game. Yeah. So it'll be really interesting to see how this works.
We take this brief break from Benched with Bubba to talk to you about RotoWear. It's one of the best quality shirts in the industry. When I mean industry, all the clothing industry, the fantasy sports industry, because people are rocking it. They're loving it. You're seeing it in a lot of big outlets now. No other brand can compete with RotoWear in terms of quality. They're premium blend fabric, super soft, comfortable, athletic fit shirts. They specialize with a special printing process. The design is part of the shirt. Literally, it is dyed and bleached into the fabric. No thick ink. There's over 30 different designs right now. It's just crazy all the stuff they have coming out, and there's more and more stuff every time you turn your head. They have fantasy football, baseball, hockey, basketball, some really cool DFS ones, but everything's great. They have men's, women's, and kids. Check them all out. Go to rotowear.com, rotowear.com. Check them out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, @RotoWear. But the cool part, guys, If you use the promo code DEGENS, D-E-G-E-N-S, you get 20% off your order. Again, promo code DEGENS, D-E-G-E-N-S. Check their site out. Check them Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. They're always giving away free shirts. And then when you go to purchase the ones you want for you, your loved ones, your friends, your family, whatever, use promo code DEGENS, D-E-G-E-N-S, for 20% off your order. Now back to this week's episode of Benched with Bubba.
Let's go to the third base position, which is pretty heavy as always. And we're going to go 1 through 10, 11 through 20, 21 through 30 on NFBC ADP rankings for the last about month, starting February 1st, and seeing how it plays out. Starting at the top, you got Arenado, Chris Bryant, Machado, Jose Ramirez, Josh Donaldson, Alex Bregman, Anthony Rendon, Justin Turner, Travis Shaw, Nick Castellanos. When you look up top, Scott, you got Arenado and Chris Bryant. And to me, it's kind of just pick your poison. You got one in Colorado, one coming off to some people a down season, but still a very good season. And I'm hearing a lot of chatter that people wouldn't be shocked if Chris Bryant's like a top three player this year. What's your thought on those two? Do you prefer one over the other? Is it pretty simple?
I mean, I think you have to take Arenado. You know, if you're picking between these guys, playing in Colorado, fantastic lineup. Everything just adds up to him, you know. Chris Bryant, though, going off at 15 in as his ADP, I mean, barely a first rounder, that's a bit much. This dude is a fantastic hitter. He's a great player. You know, he was MVP his second full year. Chris Bryant is amazing. So I don't know why he's going this low. I like him a lot. And I don't like the third base position this season very much at all. So I think that getting Chris Bryant late in the first or, you know, early in the second, if you're in a 12-man, I think it's a great idea. I love that dude. He's really, really good.
So when you say you don't like the third base position, do you not like the depth at the third base position, or you just don't like the position?
You know, it's not – it is kind of deep, but these players – these third basemen have such high ceilings and such low floors that they're just dicey. I feel like every single third baseman outside, like I got to 7. After you get to 7 on this list, which is Arenado, Bryant, Machado, Ramirez, Donaldson, Bregman, Rendon, after that, it gets really shaky and untrustworthy. So that's just kind of how I see third base playing out. So I like to grab one a little bit early if I can. I've been doing my mocks where I haven't been taking third baseman, and I haven't been taking one of those 7 first basemen or third baseman. And after that, I wait and been stuck with Miguel Andujar, and that flew out the window when they traded for Drury now. So now I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with third base for most of my things. Luckily, those were mocks and not real drafts yet. So
exactly. But no, that's a good point, because it does get really, really dicey. Guys you could see finishing top 10 at third base, no problem, or guys that, you know, could just completely destroy your team. So I get what you're saying there. You got Machado, Ramirez, then you have Josh Donaldson sitting there, the fifth third baseman off the board at pick 29, about 30 overall. Now, didn't play all year last year due to injuries, but when he played really, really, really well. Going into a contract season, do you see Donaldson finishing, you know, maybe with the Chris Bryants of the world, or is fifth about right here?
You know, this is another guy, even though I like Donaldson, he has wild swings. I think this is a great spot to buy him, because you're not spending a super high pick. You know, you're not spending a first rounder like you were last season. And this is a guy that can provide you first round value. I think for Donaldson, it's really all about staying healthy. And if he can stay healthy and provide you the type of numbers that he has before, this is another guy that was the MVP. You know, you're getting a fantastic value, and you're getting it at somewhat of a premium position. Now, there are some guys down here that people are going to like. You know, they're going to like the Travis Shaws. They're going to like the Joey Gallos or Sano or Lamb. There's maybe one of those guys later here that I actually like, though. So, you know, snagging a Josh Donaldson, and I apologize if you can hear this car alarm of people. Apparently, I just have savages living in my
all the hot takes. Alarm's going off.
Yeah. For all the hot takes. Right, exactly. So, but yeah, if you can grab Josh Donaldson, I think, was it, were you the one that was saying you don't know if you're buying in on the Jose Ramirez hype?
I listened
to a lot of podcasts. Was that you?
I'm kind of torn on him. I agree with, I like his hit tools, like his average and everything. I don't know if I'm buying into the power quite yet.
Okay. And that's fine. I mean, as long as the dude's still swiping bases, yeah, you're okay. But I mean, you know, he, let's see, what are his projections here for Donaldson? 29 bombs, 78 RBI, and 80 runs. That's still pretty damn good, hitting 276. And we know the type of ceiling that he has. And that's over 100 runs, 100 RBI, and 35 to 40 bombs. So I love where he's going. I think it's a great, great value.
Yeah, I think he's fallen too far. At 6 and 7, you have Bregman and Anthony Rendon. Rendon coming off that really, really good year. And then Bregman started out horrible, almost got put back to the minors, and then he tore it up in the second half. Just great, great second half. Saw it in the playoffs. I'm kind of surprised he's going this high, but all at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if he finished this high. Would you rather have Bregman at 31 or wait 26 picks for Rendon is kind of where I'm going with this.
I would rather have Rendon, to be honest with you. I love Bregman, but I think you're right. I think the hype is a bit much. Now, the one positive that we see from him is exactly what you said. You know, when he made his readjustments, he was fantastic, and he didn't have to get sent down. He hit over 300 in the second half. He has power and speed, which is nice. Rendon does not have speed. And Rendon's a bit of an injury risk. He's missed plenty of games in the past. I think that's why you're seeing the precipitous drop-off between these two guys. But if I had my choice, I would probably take a pitcher or like a Gary Sanchez where Alex Bregman is going and then take Rendon a round and a half or two rounds later if I could do that. So I like Bregman, but I just think he's going a touch high.
Yep.
Because he's going enough. Like two picks after Donaldson. I'd much rather have Donaldson.
That's crazy. Yeah, I'd rather have Donaldson or I'd wait because, like you said, I don't mind Bregman. It's the price is steep for me.
It's nice that he qualifies at short, too. I'll say that.
That does help. You know. That does help a lot because shortstop's a position. You either go early or you wait, in my opinion, because who
cares? Yeah.
But last guy in the top 10 I want to ask you about is Nick Castellanos. He creeped in there. Everyone couldn't stop talking about it, that, oh, he's got the hard hit rate, the hard contact, exit velocity, this, that, and the other. And he had a good season, had a really good season. He's outfield eligible with his third base. Yeah, he's projected to hit 272 with 23 homers, doesn't run at all, and he's in a horrible lineup now where his best protection is Miguel Cabrera, or maybe the shell of Miguel Cabrera. So do you even have any desire to take Castellanos, or is this kind of just a pass?
I don't have desire to take him, but I don't know if he's not a guy that I, you know, he's not a zero shares guy. I'll say that, that's why I said the top seven, because when you look at Turner, you know, Turner hit 377 in the first half, 266 in the second half. He was dealing with some injuries. When you look at Travis Shaw to me is the Zach Godley of hitters. Like, where the F did you come from, dude? Like, how did you all of a sudden have this fantastic year where you're hitting bombs and stealing bases and all this kind of stuff? I don't know if I buy into Travis Shaw at all. You know, going around 94 is actually okay. That, yeah, like,
it's not bad.
That is not bad at all. But, you know, when we did a couple of mocks right after the season, he was going around 4, round 5. No thanks. Pass. But if he's going around pick 94, that's not bad. But Castellanos, I don't know. Like you mentioned, the horrible lineup. And really, we don't know. Like, you know, Victor had a heart problem last year. Is he really going to come back and play? Miguel Cabrera had the double herniated discs. And, you know, there's basically no one cleaning him up. It's me and Bubba cleaning him up here. It's James McCann, Leonis Martin, and Dixon Machado. Yeah. So that lineup is absolutely brutal. So I don't know how many runs he's going to score. Hopefully he's just driving them in and hitting some bombs. So, I mean, you know, it's another one of these guys with a high ceiling and a low floor, and I don't like taking too many of those players. You got to take some of them at some point.
Yes.
So maybe third base is where you're going to take them this year because so many players have that. but I'm just trying to get a more sure thing at third base, take my risk at a different position that is deeper. So if it doesn't work out, I'm not reaching for someone else. That's
exactly
all.
Exactly. No, I completely agree with that. We're going to the next 10. You got Sano, Joey Gallo, Jake Lamb, Rafael Devers, Moustakas, Eduardo Nunez, Kyle Seager, Adrian Beltre, Eugenio Suarez, and Ryan Healy. I'm not going to talk about Miguel Sano because I just don't want to talk about Miguel Sano. But Joey Gallo, this is the guy that everyone's in love with or doesn't believe it can happen. Again, he's going 115 overall. If you have good batting average stability early on, he makes for tremendous power. That's a Captain Obvious quote for you. But, again, this is the definition of high risk right here.
Yeah.
Joey Gallo, what's your thoughts on him if you like came to the point where maybe he dropped another 20 picks in the draft?
I actually think that Joey Gallo might be the safest one of these guys.
Well, you know what
I mean, Seager really is. Yeah, but you know what you're going to get? You're going to get shit average and a ton of homers. Yeah. So dude's going to hit, I would say, at least 30 homers. He's probably going to drive in 100. He's probably going to score between 85 and 90. He'll even throw you in a couple stolen bases. So I don't believe it at all. But if he could raise that batting average just a little bit, he'd be going much, much higher. So I actually love to buy Joey Gallo, and I don't mind him at 115 at all. I just think that every mock I've done, he's gone a little bit earlier than that.
Agreed.
So, yeah. You know, I like that is exactly where I want to buy him, but I think people also know that. So they look and they say, well, Miguel Sano has this assault thing. Jake Lamb had a terrible second half. Devers is young. Moustakas doesn't have a team. I'm going to just take the 40 homer guy with the horrible average and try to shore up my average, you know, draft Joey Gallo and DJ LeMahieu together. And
there you go.
Kind of set. So.
Yep. No, I'm 100% there. If you got Jose Altuve, go get Joey Gallo.
Yes.
Like that.
Great.
I love that combination. Rafael Devers, young guy, pretty good season. Supposed to be the everyday third baseman now, but you mentioned Eduardo Nunez can help spell time if Devers struggles because he can still go back down. But do you like Rafael Devers this year? Or is, I know he's an amazing pedigree and everything. Like, he's going to be really good. But are you on him this year? You still want another year or two out of him?
I feel like I would get kicked off my own show if I said that I didn't like Rafael Devers because the Welsh is absolutely obsessed with Rafael Devers. So, I mean, it's hard not to like this dude. You know, yeah. He came up and he was very, very impressive in a short stint last season. He's hitting in the middle of that Boston lineup. I think he's projected to hit six, somewhere around there, five or six. I mean, he's got a lot of power, hit in the middle of a great lineup. He didn't show any deficiencies at the big league level last season. So I like him. But like I said, the risk is, you know, we've seen plenty of guys come up and hit incredible, and then the next year they blow. Trevor Story. So, you know, I don't know how it's going to go, but he has the pedigree. He has all of this stuff. So I like taking Rafael Devers too. Maybe I'm talking myself a little bit more into these third basemen. Like, this is a nice tier of third basemen. I'd rather wait a little bit and take a, if I don't get the top seven, I don't want to reach on Shaw. I don't want to reach on Turner or Castellanos or Sano. I'd rather go with Gallo, Devers, Moose, Seager, and Beltre. One of those guys. I don't want Eduardo Nunez. You know, I've already told you guys I don't want anything to do with Jake Lamb. And moving past into the lower guys, I don't want any of those dudes at all. So if I don't get one in the top 18 here, you know, it's rough in the streets at third base. So if you're in a deeper league, it's really, really rough. But yeah, Devers is fine. I like drafting Devers.
And that point you made about it gets rough if you're in a deep league. I've realized that doing a lot of mocks. If you don't have one of these, I'll even go as far as saying top 20. I don't want all those, but you better have at least one of those guys there. At 18, going 159 overall, Adrian Beltre. This is a guy that I love getting here. I think he's not getting the respect he deserves. I know he was hurt last year. I know he's old. You can't completely draft things based on a guy that's going to get hurt. We know if he plays 140 games, his production is way better than 159. So are you okay?
Yeah.
You already mentioned his name. Are you okay with him being your starting third baseman?
I'm absolutely fine with Beltre being my starting third baseman. I've taken him. I think we've done five mocks. I've taken him in two. Yep. So and I've taken Andujar in the other two, and I can't even remember who my other guy was. But, yeah, no, I really, really like taking Beltre. I think you're right. And I think Seager's getting a little bit of that, too. I think people are taking Seager in the sixth round last year, and all of a sudden he's dropping down to round nine. And going behind Jake Lamb is surprising to me. I know when you look at the overall numbers, Jake Lamb is a little bit younger, a little bit sexier, but that second half will sink you. So especially if you're in a head-to-head league. You know, if you're in Roto, okay, you get the great stats from Lamb in the second half, maybe try to move him or something. But if you have Lamb and they're painting my door again, of course. Sorry about that. If you're taking Lamb there, why not wait and take Seager round and a half, 2 rounds later? I'd much rather do that. I mean, and we were talking about this last year. Why the hell are you taking Seager in the sixth when you can get Lamb in the ninth? It's the same thing. They're kind of the same dude, so take the dude that is going later. Exactly. That's my opinion on those two guys.
Last guy I want to ask you about here at 19th, going 195 basically. Eugenio Suarez, big year last year, still gets to hit in that great ballpark with Joey Votto around him. You know, average might not be what you expect, but he still has the 20-25 homer power. Is this a guy you don't mind, or are you cutting off at 18 like you talked about?
Well, here's the thing with Suarez. Like, even if you believe in those numbers, they have Nick Senzel just breathing down his neck. And I know Senzel's been playing short. Yeah, I know that's what they said, but you draft a guy who came up playing short and you immediately moved him in the draft to third. That means you think he's probably a third baseman. So that's the risk when you take a guy like Suarez. So if Senzel comes up and he plays short, fantastic. You've done a great job. You got a valuable third baseman around pick 200, maybe a little bit earlier, maybe a little bit later, you know, based on whatever. But I just that's the risk, and that's the risk in a lot of these third basemen. You know, you can sit here and poke holes. It's easy to poke holes. Now, there's other – you can poke holes in any player. But it's super easy to poke holes in these guys. Lamb sucks in the second half. Devers is young. Moustakas doesn't have a team. Nunez is super utility. Seager had a terrible year. Beltre's hurt. Suarez has competition. So when you can just tick off big, spore gaping holes in their game here, then it's rough to confidently draft these guys. I don't mind if you draft them, but, you know, If I'm getting outside that top seven, I'm probably trying to back up one of my guys with another risk guy just in case.
Now, I'm not going to go through the next 10 because it is pretty ugly. Just two names I want to ask you about in this, going 25th and 26th, basically both 288. You have Todd Frazier, who's going to be with the Mets. We know he's a average liability, but still has 30-plus homer pop and can steal you some bases super late in the draft. And then you have Matt Chapman. A lot of power, up and down first season. He's supposed to be the everyday guy there now. They got rid of Ryan Healy in Oakland. Are these two guys like late round flyers that you don't not I'm not talking about your starting third baseman, maybe a corner infielder, bench? Are these two guys you could look at as a late flyer, or do you have any other late sleepers you might gamble on in the draft?
Todd Frazier was a second round pick like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. So he just needs to really bring the average up. He can't be hitting 214. So getting him at 25 around pick 288, I like both these guys. Like, to be honest, I don't know why Matt Chapman and Todd Frazier are going behind Ryan Healy, who's already got a busted hand, Mikel Franco, who was awful. You know, Josh Harrison, you can like Josh Harrison, that's fine, but I'll take the power upside of Chapman and Frazier easily over those two guys. One other guy that I would like is I kind of like Candelario with Detroit. Yeah. Now, we know we just crapped on Detroit's lineup and it's not good, but he is hitting two. He's supposed to be hitting in front of Miguel Cabrera. So Miguel Cabrera turns into old Miguel Cabrera even a little bit. Then you have this guy hitting in front of him who's seeing all kinds of good pitches because they want to try to get him out before Cabrera comes up. So, and he was pretty decent last season, Candelario. So seeing him go behind those guys once again is kind of surprising. I would take him over Harrison, Franco, Solarte, and especially stupid Jose Reyes. I don't know why he's going behind Jose Reyes. Give me a break, guys. What are you doing? Come on.
Yeah, that one makes no sense.
You're paying a lot of money. Let's get it. Come on.
You're supposed to be the best of the best. Let's go. Right. But yeah, Candelario, I do like a lot. He's a nice, sneaky play there. We talked prospects real quick. That I'm talking about more prospects that will have an impact at some point this year. So not Vlad Guerrero Jr. We understand who he is. Fernando Tatis, probably not. But you mentioned Miguel Andujar's name a few times. You got Nick Senzel, maybe Austin Riley. Any guys you're looking at on super deep drafts or just to keep an eye on the waiver wires for later impact?
No, I think you kind of covered it. You know, Andujar and Riley is he's an interesting name. I don't know if I would say he's a lock for this year. Maybe September call-up, 40-man. But if he's just tearing it up, you know, Atlanta doesn't have a lot, so I don't see why not. But Andujar is the big one, and Senzel is the really big one. So outside of those guys at third, I don't see making too much impact. Oh, you know what? Another sleeper guy, Matt Duffy. Forgot about Matt Duffy.
Starting for Tampa Bay. About Matt Duffy and his fat cat.
Yeah, Skeeter. I had a fat cat named Skeeter. So
such a great name.
44, going off 44, and he's going, you know, five picks ahead of Vlad Guerrero. You know, who's the other? I mean, maybe Christian Arroyo, who's in Tampa also. If he doesn't work out, I'm going through this list here.
I got a name for you I'm curious about. For some reason, he's not on NFBC's third base list. He's under first base, but I know he's third base eligible. Colin Moran, who the Pirates got. A lot of people are trying to act like he's a big-time sleeper. He's going 402 right now in NFBC's. What are your thoughts there?
Well, he adjusted the swing. You know, he was god-awful before he did that. So adjusting the swing is nice. But with Pittsburgh, you just never know what the hell's going on. Well, who they're going to acquire, what they're going to do. They just added Corey Dickerson today. Yep. So I like him. I like him there. That's another nice sleeper. Him and Duffy are kind of in the same range. You know, if you want a little bit more batting average consistency type of stuff, guy hitting high in the lineup, go with Duffy. If you're looking for maybe a power play because you took a Billy Hamilton or someone that didn't hit, D Gordon, someone who doesn't hit a lot of power, you're trying to find at the end of the draft, Colin Moran's not a bad pick.
Okay, last question. If people for some reason listen to this podcast and not Scott's podcast, well, I don't know what you're doing. One of the things Scott does and does well is troll his partner in crime. And one thing he does well when he does it is zero shares, because the Welsh will be crying when one of his guys gets injured and his whole season's ruined. And you got the chuckle in the background like you hear now. And he's sitting there going, how many shares do I have? Zero shares. Basically the middle finger to
his co-host. Hey, the Welsh, ask me how many shares I have.
Exactly. And then you'll hear, yeah, it's absolutely gross.
No shares. Yeah, we even have a shirt now. Zero share. It's like a jersey style. Like I said, I'm a whore, and it says shares on the back, and then zero underneath it. Big In This League logo. So
outstanding. Well, that brings me to the question now. Give me a couple guys. Obviously, don't have to go all over it. It could be any position, not third base. Some guys that people are all over that you're gonna have zero shares of this year.
Well, I got a bunch here. So, and I like to play the hits. So the first one isn't a hit. And I actually have one share of him in a dynasty league. So it won't be zero shares, but I'll be drafting zero shares of this guy. Rhys Hoskins. I love Rhys Hoskins. He's got all kinds of power upside, but he is going in the second round. And that is too high. Even in the third round, it's probably a touch high. He's got all kinds of power upside. And I think it was, depth charts that projected him to hit like 40-something homers, which is a possibility. But I could see him being first base Joey Gallo, you know. And next year, Joey Gallo is going to be first base Joey Gallo because he's not going to play any third unless Beltre gets hurt again, which I guess I shouldn't say. You know, maybe I'm a little bit quick to pull that trigger because Beltre could easily get hurt. But, Hoskins Steamers is going to
37 homers.
37, okay. I mean, that is aggressive for Steamer. Usually they're fairly, conservative. But Hoskins is going too high. You know, I'd rather take Edwin Encarnacion on the next round, who's basically the same dude but has all kinds of consistency. And, Hoskins played 2 months. He hit 300 one month. He hit 220 the next month. So, you know, the league adjusted fairly well to him. So Rhys Hoskins definitely is zero shares guy for me this season.
Beautiful. I like it.
I have some more hits here too. Strasburg, you know, I'll never own. Yeah. Bubba, you know that. Pollock,
I can't do Strasburg either. I just can't do it. I'm in your same shoes. I can't do it.
He was good last year. Like last year, he was fairly healthy.
Very good.
But can't do it. I can't put myself through that. I have enough gray hairs. Pollock, no way. Not a chance. He's Glass Joe from Mike Tyson. Ryan Braun, the lying cheater. Never take Ryan Braun. I just will not do it. I don't care how far he drops. I'm still bitter from 2007. I hold grudges, people.
I was about to say, good Lord.
Well, he was on those goddamn horse steroids, and he hit five homers in the NLDS and bounced the Diamondbacks, who had a better chance to win. I just can't even get all that out. And then a couple new guys coming up on this list, Schwarber. I like Schwarber, and he's another one of those guys like Hoskins. Like, I already have a share. I'm not going to trade him now because he's not kind of worth anything at this point or enough from where I drafted him in our initial draft. But his splits are terrible, and Joe Maddon is his coach, and he'll be defensively replaced in almost every single game that he starts anyway. So I'm not going to have any shares of Schwarber. I don't trust this Conforto shoulder injury, so I'm zero shares on Michael Conforto. Alex Reyes, I don't want to mess with arm injuries, you know, going into the bullpen possibly too. I don't want any of that. And Jackie Bradley Jr., because of the stuff I mentioned at the top with Eduardo Nunez coming in, I think Jackie Bradley Jr. is the dude that gets pushed out. And the last guy is Julio Teheran. Guy can't pitch at home. Half of the starts are going to be at home. And I was listening to Sleeper in the Bus, and I can't remember who it was, but they said somebody said they would rather live in Tehran than draft Tehran. And I guess that's a perfect, that's perfect analogy for that guy.
Yep, that is perfect because, yeah, lefties torch him, and in that ballpark we know how that ends. So don't go there. But I like the Schwarber one, the part where you mentioned that Joe Maddon will replace him. So you're going to get lucky to get three at-bats a game out of the guy. So it's just going to kill you over and over again. So,
yeah,
well said. All right, Scott, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Everybody, inthisleague.com. He does podcasts all the time. He's on FNTSY Radio. He's doing a bunch of NFL draft stuff. It's not just fantasy baseball. Does basketball. He's got a lot of that going on.
College fantasy football for every nerd. I've got every nerd covered, all of them. And please, for God's sake, Amazon.com. 99 fantasy baseball player debates. I would really love it. And like I said, PDF version we have on inthisleague.com too. And then I am at Bogman Sports, and the Welsh is at Is It the Welsh if you want to give him a pity follow.
Oh my God. He's going to be so flattered because he never mentions you when he's on. That was adorable.
Well, he's an asshole. So
I'm not. And on that note, everybody, Benjamin Bubba, episode 74 in the books again. Scott, thanks for joining me, man. We'll do this again.
You got it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.